And it is time to welcome my regular Monday guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time to select and research our classic picks each week. And this week he comes in with a selection from the lovely Emmy Lou Harris. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I got you in the wrong place there.
No, there we are.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Anna. Okay.
Yeah, so I figured we'd look at Emmy Lou Harris' Pieces of the Sky. It was her major label debut, and in all practical purposes, this kind of really was her debut. She was born in 47, grew up, and when she graduated high school, she did get a drama scholarship, but dropped that and went to New York City because she was, you know, as many teenagers in the mid-60s, she was really into folk. Joan Baez and Bob Dylan were her heroes, and she wanted to go to New York City and become a folk artist. And she released a little album called Gliding Bird, in 1968 on a tiny little label that went out of business not long after she released that. So, I mean, technically, this is her sophomore album, but in practicality, it's kind of her first album.
Gotcha.
That was hers. She did, while she was in New York, playing around in New York, she ran into Chris Hillman of the Byrds, who introduced her to Gram Parsons, who was looking for a female singer to perform with. And the two of them hit it off right away, and she ended up recording with his 73 release GP, and then again on his 74 release Grievous Angels. The story is that that album is essentially a duet album. Every song is a duet, and there's always been a story that Gram Parsons had planned on releasing that record as Gram Parsons and Emmy Lou Harris, but then he died before the album was released from an overdose, and his widow supposedly was jealous of Emmy Lou Harris, and so they just released the album as Gram Parsons. But that's a very good album. She made inroads with record labels, and she ended up being represented by the same manager that Gram Parsons had, which is Eddie Tickner, which is kind of a cool Tucson tie-in, because Eddie Tickner moved here when he was later in life and kind of semi-retirement. But he was kind of a very cool manager who managed the Byrds, Gram Parsons, Flying Brothers, Rodney Crowell, Etta James, Marty Stewart, and Jonathan Richman and Modern Lovers, which I didn't know. And so, it was kind of cool that he worked with all these people and then ended up in Tucson. And while he was in Tucson, he worked with Jeb Schoonover, who has ties to both the Rialto and KXCI, and he helped the Hacienda Brothers get their first recording deal.
The world is very small.
Yeah, it's
sometimes.
Very small. And he was a well-respected guy by everybody in the industry. And even though a lot of managers kind of have a slippery kind of dishonest reputation, Eddie Tickner's reputation was sterling. And Harris once quoted that she always thought that he was going to die of terminal integrity. And I got to meet him a couple times. He was a pretty cool guy. And I loved every story about Gram Parsons or Emmy Lou Harris that he had.
I bet he had some good ones.
Yeah, he was very cool. He helped her get the first signing with Reprise at the time. And the A&R guys at Reprise said, you know, your voice is great, but you need a hot band. And so there was a whole thing that she was going to put together a hot band. And she did. She ended up getting the guitarist and pianist who played with Gram Parsons, but also played with Elvis Presley, James Burton, and Glenn Harding. And then she got a bassist, a pedal steel player, and drummer, who were all very well respected, played with a lot of people. And they put together this amazing band, got signed. At about the same time she got signed to A&R, she met Brian Ahern, who at the time, he ended up becoming a very influential country producer, but at the time he'd only worked a little bit with Ann Murray. He'd done a few albums with her, I think two, maybe three albums with Ann Murray before he started working with Emmy Lou Harris. He went on to do like 12 albums with Ann Murray and 11 albums with Emmy Lou Harris, and actually married her a few years later. I think in 77 they married, and they were married from the late 70s to like mid 80s, I believe. But Brian Ahern is a really cool guy. On top of him working with Emmy Lou Harris and Ann Murray, he worked with Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, George Jones, Roy Orbison, like a ton of people. But he had this really cool studio called In Action Truck Studios. And what it was just a tractor trailer that he put state-of-the-art recording equipment in. and then lined it with a lead material to keep all the interference out. And all of these huge people recorded in this little tractor trailer truck that he would drive around. And for this album, they actually parked it out, and he had a suburban ranch house. And so this whole album was recorded in the back of this studio, or in this truck, tractor
Fantastic.
Trailer. Yeah, and everybody from Willie Nelson to Black Sabbath had recorded in this truck. And so this tractor trailer truck is now in the Songwriter Hall of Fame in Nashville. But I thought that was kind of a cool thing. I didn't know about that, because I've seen an Action Truck studio a couple times, and I always just thought it was a regular studio. The songwriting on this, of course, over time, Emmylou Harris became a very well-respected songwriter. But early on in her career, she did way more covers than she did write her own. You know, later on, she always did a lot of covers. But on this record, she didn't write much of the songs that she was playing, although she made most of these songs her own. But she did a song that was written by Rodney Crowell, one that was originally covered, sung by Tammy Wynette. She did a Merle Haggard cover, Everly Brothers cover. She even did a Beatles cover. Oh, and she did Dolly Parton's
Coat of Many Colors,
so, which is a great rendition. Also, the musicians on this were amazing. On top of the musicians in her hot band that were excellent, Ricky Skaggs all played fiddle on this. Linda Ronstadt sang harmonies on Queen of the Silver Dollar. Bernie Leadon, who was the founding member of the Eagles and was also in the Flying Burrito Brothers, is on it. And then Ben Keith, who is a pedal steel player for Neil Young, was on it too.
Yeah, you know, this was probably the beginning of her friendship with Linda Ronstadt, who she ended up becoming very, very close to over the years. And she, in fact, credits Linda for when Gram Parsons passed away, that Linda, like, flew to her side and totally took care of her during that time.
It was a very small, tight-knit community, that whole country rock thing in L.A. and around. And they worked together a lot down the line, actually, in that trio when they did the record with Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris. That's a great record that came out a little while after this in the 80s. Commercially, this was a success. It ended up selling about 2 million units. Mostly it was driven by the single If I Can Only Win Your Love, which was a duet with Herb Peterson. It ended up being one of her best-selling releases, actually. Critically, people loved it from the drop. Everybody noted how eclectic the song selection was and her angelic vocals, and she really does have these kind of achingly beautiful vocals. And I think, you know, she's got one of the most distinctive female voices in country music, I think. And after this, you know, she went on to release a ton of records. I think she ended up, you know, almost 25, 30 albums. Yeah, over 30 albums. Ended up, you know, she's played with a million different people that are all highly respected themselves. Won 14 Grammys, Country Music Hall of Fame. And today she's 72. When this album was recorded, she was 27.
Wow. I am speaking with Chris Carey about Emmylou Harris's Pieces of the Sky, came out right around this time, 45 years ago. It is our classic pick of the week. Anything else to add before we get into your first selection here?
Nothing. I wanted to just note that the first song we're playing today, Boulder to Birmingham, was the one song on this album that Harris gets writing credit on. She co-wrote it with Bill Danoff, who, interestingly, he wrote the song Take Me Home, Country Roads for John Denver, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, right on.
And this song was later covered. She covered Dolly Parton on this album. This song was later covered by Dolly Parton on another album, as well as her teenage hero, Joan Baez, ended up covering this album, or covering this song.
All in the family, folky family there. Emmylou Harris, Boulder to Birmingham. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks.